I'm preaching on something that one don't want to preach on. It's like money and marriage. You don't want to preach on those things. There are so many exemptions, and I believe tonight I'm preaching on single people seeking to get married, or for single people not yet married. And today I'm focusing on marriage. And I believe that marriage is under tremendous attack. And the first thing, when we talk about marriage, or when guys are people who are not married, we sort of become defensive. So we never want to talk about people who are married. And I believe many people are struggling in their marriages. They don't want to come out and come clean and say, okay, Lord, help, because we don't want to talk about it because of divorce. Many people are divorced. Many people have been hurt. There's the scripture in 1 Corinthians 7 that says, if Paul says, you know, it's better that you stay single, then you can focus on the kingdom of God. But if you feel you have to get married, if the passion's in you is too much, then it's good that you get married. So then whenever we talk about marriage, and people who are not married, they always want to give you that scripture. But I also believe there's an aspect of many of us who've been hurt. And because we've been hurt in the past, we don't want to face the stuff, so we just stay there. And I also believe that is also not where we should be. I believe, and I'm going to show you what Jesus had said. And, you know, when we talk about marriage, there's always these jokes that comes with marriage, and we speak these jokes. And when someone's going to get married, there's always someone that makes funny jokes, and I'm going to make a few of them now as well. And we all laugh, and then the bachelors and the guys do stupid things. And when the wife or the girl to be, what you call that, a kitchen tea, then they do stupid things. And I believe sometimes we leave curses on people, and they go into marriage with these curses, and we don't remain holy as God has called us to be holy, and we're in it for ourselves in our marriages. And I really believe God wants to change this. But you know, a happy marriage is about giving and taking. It's the husband gives and the wife takes. And you know, the son comes to his dad and he says to him, Dad, how much does it cost to get married? And his father says, Son, I don't know, I'm still paying. The son says to his dad, Dad, is it true that people in China don't know their wives before they get married? His dad said, Son, that is everywhere. That is everywhere. And, you know, marriage is a place where a man loses his bachelor's degree and the wife gets her master's. And we laugh at these jokes, but the fact is that, you know, Chris Barna is this man, George Barna. He does statistical analysis or stats over the world, especially with Christians. And he says that the divorce rate amongst Christians is exactly the same as people who are not Christians, 53% in the States. And I think it's not different in South Africa either. I think we're pretty much on par with the rest of other people. But why is that? Why is it that we have the same divorce rate as the rest of the world, if we are saying, but we know the answers, God is good and God is in control and all those things? What is the secret to a successful marriage? James 4 verse 1 says, What causes quarrels and what causes fights amongst you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And Renee's word was really telling for me for this. We are very selfish. We want to, it's us, it's me. And what I want to show you in marriage is, when we get married, there's not a me anymore. It becomes an us. And, you know, I just want to apologize to people maybe who are divorced, because it's sad. And things happened, and I really believe that there's always hope for the future. That if you've been whatever you've been through, when you give it to the Lord, I really believe God can restore wherever you've been and to take you forward. So not to say, but don't look at what happened in your past, but really saying, God, but what can you do for me for the future? Or to be that person that I believe God has called us to be. So I'm really trusting God that no one will walk out of here with feeling condemned or feeling bad. And this is not my heart. This is really for those who are married and to really revisit their marriage, and also for the rest of us to see why God had instituted marriage. But you know your marriage is in trouble when your friends and family tell you to get counsel. That your children's behavior, you can start seeing in your children's behavior when your marriage is taking strain. You start comparing the present to what it used to be. There's physical abuse. And in that case, I believe a person should leave. If your wife is starting to beat you up with a pan, just then you must go. I think that's a good thing to go. If there's substance abuse, if you're starting to drink too much coffee, you have sexual problems, there's destructive patterns, every day you come home, your wife is upset with you, or you find yourself running away, you don't want to come home, you'd rather go and play golf every Friday, then there's maybe a reason that you don't want to go home. There's an extramarital affair, that pretty much shows that you have marriage problems. When you start withdrawing and your wife lives her life and you are living your life and she's got her friends and you've got your friends and you don't really come together anymore. There's a negative spiritual relationship. You don't connect with the Lord anymore, and I'm going to show you why I believe that is as well. There's emotional problems, depression, anger. The husband starts doing that. And what I also want to say there is I believe that the path that God is taking us on with the whole thing of rejection and then forgiveness, that this starts with us in our families. That God, that we are called to unconditionally forgive so that we can unconditionally love. And that doesn't matter what has happened in the past. I really believe God can restore any relationship if we can come to a place where we completely just forgive. And choose to walk in forgiveness and forgiving all the time so that we can walk in absolute love of God. You know, a marriage crisis occurs when unusual amount of stress and unresolved conflict causes the levels of anxiety to become too intense for the couple to manage. As a result, anger, resentment, dissatisfaction, frustration and hopelessness take control of the relationship. The couple continues in negative interactions or disengage completely from one another. Both parties feel they want to end the marriage. They want to walk away. And maybe you've gone through that where you just start throwing this at one another. Then I'll divorce. Dan gaan ons skei. And I believe it can happen in any family where you come to a place where you're so frustrated, where you just start saying things like that. But 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And this is, I think, a key to us why we're not seeing breakthroughs, massive breakthroughs. We pray for things and it's not falling in place. And I believe this is the key. It's one of the big keys. We don't live in unity in our homes. There's no unity and we pray. And I shared with the Bible school guys on Tuesday night. I said, if you have offense against me, and you come to me and say, can we just pray a prayer of agreement? And I take your hand and we say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for that Mercedes Benz. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you believe that's a prayer of agreement? Because it's not. There's something in your heart. There's something in our hearts. There's no agreement. And I believe this is at home as well. When there's something that your wife or you have against one another, now we come and we hold hands and we that's religion. We pray this prayer, but there's no breakthrough because we are not inheriting what God has called us for. The little Caleb said that he had a different spirit in him, and we're praying, we're not getting, because I believe we are not living as men in an understanding way with our wives. And I believe it can work the other way around as well. Matthew 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they tested him. And they said, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And Jesus said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his wife and his mother. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. I hope I read it right. I'm starting to see blur in front of me. From the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore, he said, what the man shall leave his father and mother, he shall hold fast to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. And I believe here God is saying to us that as God is a Trinity God, he's one God that consists out of three people, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not three different gods, one God. We become one flesh. And that we must do what's good for us and not what's good for me anymore. That this is what marriage is all about. This is the key to marriage. That we live for us. I do what's good for us, not what's good for me or what's good for Lynette even. I do what's good for us. And that's where the blessing is of marriage. This is what I just came to the conclusion. That marriage represents our relationship with God. God wants us to live. He wants us to understand relationship with Him. That's why He's given us marriage. That we can walk in the fullness of knowing Him because we have been given a wife or a husband. And you know, for me, when Daniel was born, I never understood the love of God. But when you have children, you start understanding the love that God has for us, our unconditional love. Doesn't matter what your son does to you or your daughter does to you, if you've got a girl, like when you change their nappy and they wee on you, you think it's cute. You know, that's unconditional love. That's absolute forgiveness. So if Jock or going to wee on me, I'm just going to love them and say, oh, that's cute. You know, that is the love that I believe God has called us to be, unconditional love. Ek is ongefokus. So they said they will no longer be two, but one flesh. Whatever God has joined together, let no man separate. So, and this is where I believe God is saying to us, the divorce is not an option. Yes, we make mistakes, things happen. I've been married once before I met Lynette. I was married for a month. And I was divorced as well. It was infidelity, not on my part. I didn't know about it. And it destroyed me. My heart got hardened. And I lived life, but I didn't want to return. And when I got married again, it took me a while for my heart to soften too. And it was only by the grace of God that I could come and live and grow in it. And I'm still not there. I'm in a process. And I really believe God wants to do a work in us, that we as men represent Jesus to our wives, that we represent and that people can know that there's something different about us because of who we are, because of the men that we are and how we are treating our wives. And that is how Jesus wants to treat us as the bride. He says, continue saying, but they said, but Moses commanded one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And he said, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives from the beginning, and it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Because of the hardness of our heart, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, our hearts get hardened, and we don't love the way we should love anymore. And this is why God allowed divorce, or Moses allowed divorce, because our hearts had hardened. But with the new covenant, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I'll take your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll make you and I'll be your father and you'll be my child. And I believe there's something for us that our hearts must soften, not onto our wives or onto our husbands, but as onto the Lord. And then relationships around us will start falling into place, all different relationships. I believe God is saying that we must guard our hearts with all people, that we must not take offense, that we must walk in forgiveness. When someone do something against us, turn the other cheek and walk in love as God had called us to walk in God. That we must be humble, that we must do this in fear of God, not of who we are, but in fear of who God is, because God is instructing us to do these things. Malachi 2, verse 15 and 16, in the New King James, it says that God hates divorce, but listen how it says in the ESV, it says, did he, that God, not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God, seeking? Godly offspring. So guard yourselves in your spirit, and let none of your you be faithless to the wife of your youth. For the man who does not love his wife, For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not be faithless. So if we, I believe this is why there's so much violence in this world, because of the high divorce rate in families. Families are being attacked and being broken. And I believe this is why so many children and so many people grow up with violent tempers, anger, so much road rage because of this principle, this biblical principle. And God wants godly offspring. And for me, what I'm also understanding is that God wants us to be family, but the family starts in my house, and then it will overflow into our houses, into the church as well. And that people need examples of families that work. But it's almost today that the Christians or heterosexual people want to live together and homosexual people want to get married. And I believe it's wrong. It's because that it's like the enemy comes to destroy what God has put in place, completely destroy it. And we don't understand this. We don't understand that God wants to show himself to the world through our marriages. This is the testimony that God has called us to be. Marriage is a covenant. And what is a covenant? We in Bible school, we teach a little bit about covenant. But 2 Corinthians 3 verse 6 says that we are ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. God, whenever he made he got involved in a relationship with any man, he made covenant. And covenant is when it means to cut. And what would happen? Two people would come together, or a man to God, and these two people will cut covenant with one another. They'll come into a relationship that will say that we become one, that my belongings belongs to you, that my family is your family and your family is my family. That it's like a tribe coming together, and now they become one tribe. And what would happen was, in Abram's case, in all the other different covenants that was made, they would exchange robes. So I take my robe and I give it to Paul, and he gives his robe and he will give it to me. So I'm identified now with Paul, and I would give him my belt and he will give me his belt, and I will have his weapons and he will have my weapons. And then we would there would be a sacrifice of an offering that would be made, that we would cut ourselves and shake hands, and our blood will mix. There would be a seal of the covenant that was made. There would be a meal that we will eat together. We will erect a memorial, and there will be a mediator of this covenant that would be made. And this covenant is irrevocable. So when we get married, it's irrevocable, because we made a covenant, not to my wife, but unto God. And Lynette made a covenant, not to me, but unto God. And this is the covenant that we've made, that when we come together, and I'm going to share with the single people tonight, this is a difficult decision that one needs to make. and I'm sharing it tonight as well. The three most important decisions that you'll ever have to make in your life is your Savior, your career, and your partner. I believe if you know the Savior, then ask Him for the other two as well. That is what God wants us to do, that we must really do this in faith, do this in prayer, because I believe God can show us who our marriage person would be. So when Jesus comes and He cuts covenant with us, a new covenant, we take the identity of Christ. We lay down ourselves down, and we become a new creature in Christ. We become, and we get His authority. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a seal that you can see that someone is a Christian because of the Holy Spirit in him. The mediator was Jesus Christ. And there's this terms, which is blessings and cursings, that is given to us. With us, we can know it's faith. But in our marriage, it's my assets and my liabilities becomes Lynette's, and hers is mine. But it's not hers and mine anymore. It is ours. It becomes one. We are not separate in that case anymore. And this is what we understand. When we become believers, we surrender our lives to God. We're not one with what we want to do. It's now what God wants to do for us. And this is what I'm seeing in marriage and what God wants us to understand. That marriage is given to us that we can understand our relationship with us. It's not about who I am anymore, but it's about who God wants me to be. So in my marriage, it's not who I want to be. It's what God wants us to be, where He wants to take us. So if I'm called to the ministry, Lynette is also called to the ministry. And when she starts saying, no, I'm not called, then we are being pulled apart. And that's not what God had intended. He had called us together, that we are called together. So where you are, if your family is called for a certain purpose, and that's why God had brought you together. And what I'm seeing is, if I look at my marriage, and I look at my relationship with the Lord, it's so easy to want to do things to get my marriage right. So what I want to do is, if we're going to have date night, and I'm going to do the dishes, and then I'm going to take the children to school, and then I'm doing all these things, and then Lynette says, but what fun did? And then I must do more things, and then I get frustrated, but I've done all these things now, and now we fight. And the same with God. We want to do things for Him so that we can have a relationship with Him. But He says, I don't want you to do stuff for me. I want relationship with you. Same with my marriage. God wants me to have relationship with my wife. It doesn't come because I'm doing stuff for her. It comes because we have relationship. And I've been doing it now for a little while. And it works. I'm trying to do the dishes and I'm trying to take the children to school and we're quarreling all the time. But you're not doing enough. And I'm like, I'm doing all these things. And we both talk out of hearts that's been broken. But I'm starting to see what God is after. He's after relationship. It's not works. It's faith. It's relationship. God is after relationship for all of us. So, and then the other revelation that I'm having, and now for all of you who are not married, please close your eyes. I'm going to blush, and then I'm going to sit down and drink some water. I don't have any water, but here it comes. God says, in the beginning, Adam knew Eve. He yadat Eve, yada. It's knowing Eve. When He says, I want you to know me, it's the same word. God wants us to intimately know Him. As a man knows his wife, God wants us to know Him. He wants us to yada know Him. And I believe God has given us sex as a couple so that He can reset the button as well. That's intimate worship as unto the Lord. And this is why God has given it to us. And the difference between, you know, when in the Bible when it says someone, when they were married, when they were together, they knew and they had children. When they were not together, it says they lay together. What was the difference? Covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. The success of marriage does not depend upon the absence of tension and problems, but depends on the quality of relationship that needs to be developed between a husband and a wife. So I believe God is calling us to really seek relationship with our partner and not to do stuff as He seeks relationship with us. I want to take you to Ephesians 5, and this is the key scripture. If you have a Bible, you can maybe open to that. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but I believe Ephesians 5, for if you are taking strain in your marriage, this is the scripture that you have to meditate and ponder upon and make it yourself. But Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. God wants us to imitate Him. We must become like Him. Love, peace, joy, faithfulness, goodness, self-control, all those things God wants us to become, forgiving, merciful, graceful, all of that we must become. And then He says in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We walk in love, and as Christ loved us and He gave Himself up to us, we must do the same. We must surrender completely, that we become a fragrant offering and a sacrifice, as Renee brought the word earlier. Then it continues, no sexual immorality, no impurity, no covetousness must be among you, no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. And this is where I believe our marriages can take so much strain, because of the words that we speak over our marriages, the filthy words that we speak, the crude words that we speak over it, the jokes that we make over our marriages. And then in verse 17 says, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, giving thanks in all things. And then he goes to family. Then he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We submit to one another, and reverence means worship. It means honor as unto God. It means devotion as unto the Lord. Our partners can never fulfill us. Never. It's only the Lord that can. So tonight I'm going to share with the guys as well that if you want to prepare yourself for marriage, become the godly partner first. Then you are ready for marriage. And I'm going to show you a video clip of a couple that freaked my mind completely. Just so godly, two people that came together that waited until their marriage day. And when they came together, then they knew that they were married because they kept it and waited until the marriage for them to become together. And this is that unity. We submit to one another. There's unity in us. And as I said, that marriage is called for us to do the things that's right for us as a family. So I don't do what's good for me. So sometimes the man wants to go and play golf, but it's not necessarily good for your family. I must do what is good for my family. Then wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, for me as a man, to speak to the woman on submission is probably not a good thing. But I believe as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. We submit as unto the Lord. And, you know, I also shared with people that if you have a calling to pray, for example, and your husband is in a church, and you don't want to go to that church because maybe you feel the Holy Spirit is not in that church, and you rather want to go to that church, or you want to be part of a different group, but now you are called as an intercessor, I believe when you start praying and you start taking on authorities and principalities and powers, the devil doesn't look and say, oh, shame, there's no spirit in that church, so I understand. He just looks at the principles. Are you submitting to your husband? Yes or no? And that's an open door for him to come in and bring destruction in that relationship, even in your life as well. So I really believe there's a place of unity that God wants to take us to, that it must start in our families. And, you know, for the wives, I've listened to Focus on the Family, how this lady, she's a doctor, how she's talking about submission. And when she came to her husband, she said to him, look, I feel God is leading me to do the submission thing. And he says, no, we're getting it quite right. Don't go there. But she said, I feel God is saying to me, I need to do it. And maybe go and listen to Focus on the Family as well. But there was a blessing on their marriage because they understood it's for them together. And there is a role in it. But it's not the man and the husband. It is them together. And I believe this is the key that God is giving to us. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is in himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so the wife should submit in everything to their husband. When we are in that place, when we do things as unto the Lord, we do it what's right for us, I don't believe we'll be in unity. So when a man makes the decision, it would be because they've already prayed it through. It's in both their spirit. Because I believe God speaks to all of us the same. And, you know, this is why I've been saying to so many people when they come to me, come and pray with me. Because everyone says, the Lord says, but everyone varies. Everyone has a different opinion of what God is saying. And I'm just saying, when we pray together, we can hear what God is saying. God speaks to us in various ways. Now, Renee comes and he says, and he comes with the water. And God is speaking to us about water. He's speaking to us about releasing ourselves. This is why it's important that all of the body comes together. And I believe when we come into that place of unity as husband and wife, that when I don't surprise my wife with saying, you know, I've got a new job. She's been warned by the Spirit. Because God is good and He's faithful. So I really believe that place will be to the benefit of all because we are in unity. Proverbs 12 verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 14 verse 1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. I believe the wife has the ability to make or break a man. And the wives, and also if the wife is not fulfilled in the marriage, you can see it in the eye. So for us as men, we have to work on it, but I believe the wives have to work at it as well. It's not one party that can do this. It's both that must decide together. We want to do this. We want to do these things together. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Love the church as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up. Surrender completely. Total forgiveness. Total love, total surrender to the purposes of God. A leader leads by washing feet, servant leader. I believe that is what God is saying to us as men, total surrender. It's not, no, ekene manne. I don't believe that is godly. I believe that is not what God has called us to be. We have to do the things that is right for us as a family, as a married couple. Verse 28 says, in the same way husbands should love their wives, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his family. Nourish means to nurture, to cultivate, to promote, and cherish is to appreciate, to treasure, to value, to esteem. That is what we are called to do for our wives. Proverbs 5 says, now this is one of those ones that I need some water again. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. We are called to rejoice in the wives of our youth. And in Proverbs 31, verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. We are called to rejoice in our wife and we are called to praise them. This is what I really believe God is doing to us. And in verse 31 of Ephesians 5 says, therefore, a man shall leave his wife, or his father. I'm sorry. I need prayer. And Lynette. Just don't pray for me. Pray for Lynette as well, please. For both of us. Because we are one. And I renounce all the words that I've spoken from the pulpit about leaving my wife. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, to illustrate this the best is Matthew 18, verse 19. Marriage is symphony. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree, symphoneo, on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If two of you agree. That's why God wants us to get married, I believe. If two of you agree on anything, agreement. God wants us to come into agreement. We can ask whatever we want. Whatever you want, it will be done for you. We agree. And that word symphoneo is like a symphony. I don't know, 2 years, year and a half ago, I had this sermon on symphony. I can't remember what I call it anymore, but it's a symphony that comes together, and a symphony is completely different. It's not two people who look exactly the same. All have different gifts and instruments that they play, but it's the same. It's the same beat. It's the same song. They all come together. It's different tones and all of that, but it's beautiful when it comes together. And this is what I believe God has called us to be. So for us, as husbands and wives, we must come into symphony with one another, so that we can ask the nations. God says, ask me the nations, and I'll give you the ends of the earth as your inheritance. That we, as married couples, are called for the nations. And for me, we are not called to go individually. It's not the men. I believe we are called as families to go. And whatever draws family apart from one another, and I think one mistake that I probably made was, I ran too quickly when I got saved. I ran too fast. And it took Lynette a while to catch up with me. And now in our marriage, we're taking strain because I ran without her. Instead of just waiting and supporting her and helping her to come on the same page. Because if two agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them on Father. And Satan's attack is to bring division. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And I believe a house that prays together stays together. And I believe it's the same for church. But I believe there's not unity in our marriages. That's why there's not unity in the church as well. Because Satan's attack is to divide us in our families. Ephesians 5:32 says, this mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Marriage is a mystery and it is profound. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is where I believe, because it's in God's will, whatever we ask, He will give to us. That we really must ask God and we must pray for our marriages to come together. We must pray for our spouses, our husbands and our wives. We must pray for our children, maybe more than what we pray for ourselves. We must pray for that place to come into unity. That is what God had called us to become. Because our marriage represents relationships to God. And I believe many people, and I've done some counseling in my life, and the biggest cause for people who are hurt is because fathers who did not love them. And then there are mother wounds that comes as well, because they were broken families. And people don't understand the goodness of God, because they did not have a family that grow up in. They did not have family. Many people are broken. They can't trust in God. They can't trust in the fullness of God. They stray away from the goodness of God because their parents could not represent this fact that this mystery is profound. It refers to Christ and their church. And they don't trust God because they couldn't trust their own parents. I believe romance should be part of our marriage. And as God comes to romance us, was it Gerard and I? By the way, this is Gerard for all the girls. I just want to I'm going to get beaten up again after the service, or drowned in the pool or something. So please, yeah, help. We were just talking about, you know, I've got a scripture and how God confirmed it three different places for me, the same scripture. And it's almost like God comes to wow us sometimes. He just comes to do amazing things in our lives. And it's so cool. It's amazing how God just comes and do awesome things in our lives. Sometimes we don't expect it, and He shows up in such an amazing way, and you just go, wow, isn't He amazing? And I believe this is also in marriage, that we must come to that place. I wanted to show you a video clip of an old man. He had Alzheimer's, and he got lost, and his wife was very worried about him, but this was the day before Mother's Day. 3 years ago, he got Alzheimer's, and then he got a clear moment, and he wanted to go and buy flowers for her. So he got lost. The police got the call. They found him. They picked him up, and he said he was adamant. He wanted to get flowers. So they took him to the flower shop. They still gave the man money because he didn't have enough money, and they took him back to his wife. Because every year since his first child was born, he's in his 80s, he brought his wife flowers. Now, I had to repent to my wife there already. So God is really working in my life as well. But this man, all he could remember was taking flowers for my wife. And I believe this is a picture of God wanting to wow us as well. And our children get brought up with this, a father that loves their mother. And the best present that we can give our wives is to love God. And the best present we can give our children is to love our wives. And the best gift that children can give their parents and their grandparents is to love the Lord. That we train our children and ourselves to walk in the ways of the Lord. Verse 33 says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. The women, we don't want love. We want respect. We just want to hear how good we are, how great we are. That's what we want to know. The wives, they want love. They want love and security. They want to feel secure so that they can have children. So when you look at another girl, they feel insecure because you might leave me. And we must let them know we trust God that He will provide for our finances. Because a woman wants to make sure that there's money in the house because they want that security. Us men want peace. We want to come in home and want peace and respect. So that's why we want to sit and go through the channels and throw that thing away. It's terrible. We mustn't do that. But, you know, and then the wife comes in and she wants security and you are wanting peace, and now there's a clash. And then you have that dripping water in your house and your peace gets disturbed, and there's the quarrels already. So for men, this is what I've just learned, and I'm trying to learn it still. On your way from work to home, get your peace so that when you walk in there, you can determine the atmosphere in the house. And, you know, because the atmosphere is determined by the men. That's we are leading. We're bringing in the atmosphere in the house. I remember I would come down home and I'm tired and I'm feeling sorry for myself. And it wasn't good in our house. Then later on, I come in and I open the door and I go, yellow. And the children are like, oh, and it was a big thing. And there was laughter in the home. So then later I come and I just look and I can see they're expecting for excitement to come in. And I believe this is what we as husbands must do. We must set the tone. We must bring it in. Because our wives are not called to that. We are called to set the pace in our homes. And then I just want to finish off with Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that it may go, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Even for us as married couples, our fights were always about the in-laws. That was my biggest fight. I couldn't understand it. But then there came a time when Amanda came to our house and she said to me, Theo, she pulled my file. It's hectic. And she showed me everything that God wanted to do in my life and everything that I was, but was preventing me from going in that place. And the next day I phoned all my in-laws and I apologized and I repented because I'm such a bad son-in-law and all of that. And I cried and I got taken out by my father-in-laws and my mother-in-law cried. And nothing changed. But now everything has changed. Because just of a humbleness saying, okay, I've got to be a blessing here. I'm supposed to be the Christian. But there's something about honoring our parents. And if you're not married yet, trust God that you get a blessing from your parents as well. I really believe that is very important. But we must train our children to be obedient and to honor. And I think this is where us as Afrikaans people get it right. Women tani, that's a good thing. That we train our children to be obedient to the Lord and to honor one another and to honor our parents. It starts with honor. That we say, no, I don't want to send my children to children's church because I don't want to force them to go to children's church. But, you know, you force your children to eat vegetables too. It's good for them. They must go to children's church. They must go there because they must be taught in the ways of the Lord. So sometimes we're going to force them to do things because it's good for them. Children are very good at wanting to do what they want to do. You don't have to teach them to be naughty. They know that already. We must teach them to be obedient and to be honoring to other people. So I'm just going to ask the ushers to hand out the communion for me, I must be honest with you, marriage, and especially in ministry, is tough. It's hard. Family life is hard, and that's why they always talk about the pastor's children and stuff like that. But, you know, it's difficult when, like, everyone you know dies around you to keep your calm and to be friendly and to laugh and to be the joy of the Lord. It's difficult. But, you know, there's also a place that I must trust God that my children, that my testimony as a Christian will be my life that I live. But as a married couple, it will be my children. That is the testimony that God has called me to. And my first ministry is my family. And that I walk this life, not for myself anymore, but to release my children in the ways that they should go. That we trust God. That where you are in your family, and maybe you're taking strain, I'm not going to call anyone forward because you know, and it's just too embarrassing to stand up in front of all these people to say, look, I'm taking strain. Maybe if you have been married, you are divorced, ask God to heal that heart, your heart, if you have been hurt. That we really just come to God and say, Lord, if you are single and maybe because of the example of your parents that you don't want to get married. Jacques shared his testimony earlier with me and it was such a blessing to me as well. We just said he didn't want to get married because he felt it wasn't for him. And now he knows it is for him because God has been doing a work in him that we trust and we start praying for family. And there are going to come people into our ranks who will not be married, but that we draw them in as if they are part of the family as well. That we really trust God to become family as God had intended it to be. This is really my design. If you need help in your marriage, I want to ask the cell group leaders to really start speaking about it, to really start talking about it, saying, guys, where are you? Are you in a good place? Are you taking strain? And not to think of ways and rules to fix it, but to really focus on building relationship with your wife as unto the Lord. But it starts with God. It starts with repenting of our selfishness because we are very selfish. I really believe that is what's preventing us from walking in the fullness of God. We have our own will, and this is how it should be. And we can't wait on other people. We want to tell everyone how it is, and we don't want to be told. And I believe that must go. We must really trust God, because it affects our children. and it affects other people that look at us. Because people pick up when you're not in a good place. They know. Everyone knows. And you think they don't know, but everyone knows if you're not in a good place. Rather trust God to fix your marriage, that we can change this world. I believe it starts in our marriage. It's part of reaching the nations. It's allowing God to heal who we are. And for those of you who are not married yet, to get excited about meeting your wife. This man that I'm showing the clip of, he wrote letters to his future wife when he was 8 years old. And he gave it to his wife when they got married. And she said they didn't want to even come that close to one another. But the longer they waited, the more it became worth it. Because that night, when they came together sexually, they knew we are married. And this is what I'm really trusting the Lord for our people here to be whole when they get married. To be pure as God intended it to be. Not to be broken by the world. Because we take all of that in there. And if you've been maybe made a mistake, know that God can fix. Because He's good. God is good. And I want to say to all of you that God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. For you. Because we always believe He loves other people, but not for me. But He loves you. He loves us so much. God loves you. You have to believe it. You have to believe that God is excited about who you are. And God has in His mind already to bless you, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. God says, your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, your mind can't conceive what He has in store for you. But we must believe the promises of God and allow God to do that work in us. So as we just pray, God, we thank You, Lord, that You've given us the bread and the wine as covenant, Lord, that we can know that the seal of the covenant is Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You were the sacrifice that was offered once and for all, that the blood of Christ, Lord, was given for all of us, Lord. God, that there's blessings and there's curses, Lord, but we can know that we can walk in the blessings because of our faith, because we believe, because we are saved by grace through faith and not by the stuff that we do, Lord God. Lord, that we can believe for marriages to work, Lord, for families to work, for our children to be raised, to be obedient, and to be honoring to people around them, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that even here to this morning, God, there are people who are feeling anar. Their hearts are hurting now, Lord, and I just want to pray, Lord, Your love over them, Lord. And God, I just pray that maybe if I scratch something open, that Your Spirit will just come, Lord, and just come and heal. Come and heal, Lord, that we can be whole. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, thank You for Your body, Lord, that took all that punishment, Lord, on the cross for us. Thank You for the blood of Jesus, Lord. Let's drink. Your Father, we just want to pray Your blessing, God, over every person here, Lord. And we ask You, Lord God, to strengthen us. We pray for marriages, Lord. We pray for husbands, Lord, to love their wives, Lord God, as You love the church. God, we pray for our wives, Lord God, who are sometimes lonely, Lord, and they feel isolated. God, we pray, Lord God, that You bring families, Lord, and unite them, Lord, as one. God, I pray that we will do what is good for our marriages, Lord, and not what is good for us anymore. But we will focus on the goodness of God, Lord, and that we will know that You've given us the example of loving You, God. And this is how we should love one another as well, Lord God. We pray Your blessing, God, on this church and on every person who is here this morning, Lord. We pray for our children that they will be raised, Lord, to be obedient, Lord, that they can be holy. and without blemish, Lord. That when they get together with their wives or their husbands one day, they will be virgins, Lord, as you intended it to be, Lord God. That they will not fall under the pressures of the world, but they will walk, Lord God, as Caleb, overcomers, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, Lord, that you love us, Lord. I thank you so much for the love, Lord God, and that your love transforms and changes lives, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.